At a time when the world feels increasingly complex, thoughtful conversation matters more than ever. On Thursday, June 5th, New Yorker writer Evan Osnos will participate in a WSHU Join the Conversation event at the SHU Community Theater. He'll discuss clarity in a year of uncertainty and take your questions. Find details and ticket information at WSHU.org.
You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from around Long Island Sound. Coming up this episode, research out of St. Joe's looks at microplastics in marine life. But first, a man is in custody following a shooting last night at a Waterbury mall. New York lawmakers look to prevent deportation flights from the state's airports. Plus, the Connecticut House approves a controversial housing bill that was stalled just last week. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Police say they have a 19-year-old man in custody following a shooting at a shopping mall in Waterbury last night. WSHU's Molly Ingram was on the scene this morning and has this update from officials.
Five people were shot at the Brass Mill Center after a fight. Police say the shooter was armed with a semi-automatic pistol, and the victims were not random. Their injuries vary in severity, but aren't life-threatening. Governor Ned Lamont visited the mall on Wednesday morning.
We got to do everything we can in the community to make sure we head this off, find out where these sources of friction might be. But I really want to say, on behalf of the people of Waterbury, we're so proud you're here. And don't let these guys scare you.
Police say a man has been charged with five counts of assault and weapons violations. He's being held on a $2 million bond. At the time of the shooting, the man had been out on bond for multiple motor vehicle-related charges. As of Wednesday morning, police had not recovered the gun used in the shooting. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
New York State lawmakers want to prevent deportation flights from the state's airports. Jimmy Vielkind reports.
Democrats in the state legislature say airports should shun airlines that work with federal immigration authorities. A new bill would restrict public airports from contracting with any air carrier which has a deal with ICE, unless the carrier makes sure anyone being deported has had due process. Assemblymember Mikhail Solage says the state is doing what it can.
New York has the right to defend itself against the erosion of constitutional rights, against the misuse of state resources, and against the idea that due process is optional.
Solage and other lawmakers called out Avelo Airlines, which has a contract with ICE. The company said it would monitor the bill and previously said deportation flights provide stability for its bottom line. In Albany, I'm Jimmy Vielkind for the New York Public News Network.
And the Avelo deportation flights have sparked protests at Tweed Airport in New Haven, the airline's East Coast headquarters. The Connecticut House has voted to approve a controversial affordable housing bill that stalled last week after Republicans threatened a filibuster. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
House Democratic Majority Leader Jason Rojas is the architect of the bill. He says it's been tweaked to reflect Republicans and some Democratic lawmakers concerned that it placed unrealistic affordable housing quotas on cities and towns, overriding local zoning.
We're given the opportunity for towns and cities to come back to us with a number that they think is more feasible. Based on their understanding of local conditions, their understanding of available land.
Rojas says cities and towns would have until 2027 to submit their plans. Republicans still oppose the bill. House Minority Leader Vincent Candelora says it exceeds the affordable housing numbers the state actually needs.
We've heard the numbers around 80,000, and this ends up exceeding, you know, what those goals are. So I think it is just a dangerous piece of legislation.
The bill passed the House along a mainly party-line vote. It now goes to the Senate for action. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
Shellfish have long been known as an indicator species for water quality, but new research finds there are other animals scientists should be taking a look at. A conversation on that is ahead.
Local support comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
The New York Racing Association says the June 7th Belmont Stakes at Saratoga Racecourse remains on schedule after a small fire there yesterday. The third leg of the Triple Crown is being held at the upstate venue as part of a multi-day festival, while its regular downstate home on Long Island is being renovated. The more than a century-old East Haddam Swing Bridge is open for use after a three-year, $90 million renovation project. It includes several new upgrades, including sidewalks for pedestrians and a roof. Governor Lamont says the state made good use of the Biden-era infrastructure package. Low-income New Yorkers can apply for a free air conditioning unit through the state's Home Energy Assistance Program. To get one, households need to have either a young child, older adult, or someone with a documented medical condition that worsens in extreme heat. A global analysis out of St. Joseph's University on Long Island takes a look at the prevalence of microplastics in marine life. I spoke with the author, Dr. Constantine Roundhouse, associate professor of biology, as well as Afifa Khan, one of his former students who worked alongside him. I think that a lot of us hear the word microplastics and know that that's a bad thing, right, when it comes to our health and the impact on the planet. But what exactly are microplastics and how prevalent of a problem are they really? I'll start with you, Doctor.
Yeah, microplastics are small particles that are derived from either larger macroplastics that break down over time through wind, wave action, abrasion, etc., or they are created by humans for whatever purpose, like a microbead or something like that. So these are small plastic particles. And just as we know, plastic takes a long time to degrade, these plastic particles end up not only just staying in our environment, but research shows that they're actually found more and more in humans and in other organisms as well.
Afifa, what kind of marine life are we talking about here in this study?
So we looked at bivalve species. So that includes mussels, clams, oysters. And then we looked at non-selective of those species and selective, as well as some sponges.
Could you explain the difference between the selective feeders and the non-selective feeders?
So in simpler terms, selective species are organisms that are able to pick what food they eat, and then non-selective organisms are ones that eat whatever they come across.
How are they picking? Like, filter feeders is like the word for that, right? Am I getting that correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So filter feeding is a type of suspension feeding. And really here, as Afifa said correctly, right, you have selective suspension feeders, those that can take specific particles from the water and consume them or decide not to consume them. And then you have non-selective suspension feeders. And these are like sponges, snails, polychaetes, and you know, they don't have the ability to discriminate between the particles that they ingest.
And the non-selective feeders are the ones that were more impacted by microplastics, right? Could you explain some of the findings there?
Yeah. So for years, we've relied on selective suspension feeders like mussels and oysters to monitor ocean pollution. But this study really shows that non-selective suspension feeders like sponges, snails, polychaetes are actually better indicators of microplastic pollution, because we found that the non-selective suspension feeders actually had significantly more microplastics than those selective suspension feeders.
How is this research being done exactly? Afifa, if you want to take that one?
Yeah, so we did this research through different online databases. So we basically took data from other people that have done research in the past in different areas of the world. And we took that data and we combined it to create our own graphs and our own analysis, and just came up with our own conclusion based on what we were looking for.
Mm-hmm. So
like you were just saying, this is a global analysis, but right here at home on Long Island, you know, this is something we could really feel the impacts of with all this access to different waterways. And I know a lot of towns are working on building up our shellfish populations. Can one of you speak to that a little bit? How could this impact us here at home?
Yeah, well, one of the major findings from this research is it highlights the need for scientists and policymakers really to broaden the type of species that we use to monitor for plastic pollution, right? So if we're only looking at oysters or mussels to give us a gauge of how many microplastics we have in the water, we really are not seeing a true baseline of what might be there. So in terms of, you know, obviously there's a reason why we have oysters and mussels and clams as an indicator species, because we heavily consume them. But these non-selective species also may be important to include to get that accurate baseline.
Mm-hmm. Afifa, did you live on Long Island before going to St. Joe's? Because I'm wondering how much, if at all, did living on Long Island, going to school here, inspire an interest in marine biology?
Yes, I've always lived on Long Island. So I've always been kind of interested in marine biology, and I think I wanted to do something for research that was different, that I didn't really know about. This way I can like learn as I was going. And I came across microplastics, and that was something that sparked an interest in me. And I was like, okay, I don't know about this, so I want to learn more about it, which is why I ended up doing picking microplastics as my research. So, yeah.
Yeah, very cool. I'll throw that question to you, Doctor, as well. I know you said you're from Connecticut originally, but is like having access to the water something that inspired you to take this career path?
Oh, absolutely. I think it was very infrequently, throughout my childhood that I wasn't in close proximity to the water, either the Sound, or what have you in New England. So being close to the water, so it's something that, you know, I deeply care about. And the health of our ocean, you know, if we have healthy oceans, then we have healthy human populations. And as an avid seafood lover and consumer, you know, we need to make sure that our seafood is healthy so that it can provide the nutritional benefits that our human society needs.
So what happens now? What are you hoping comes out of these findings here at home and beyond?
What we intend, or what we hope from this study, is that, again, policymakers and ecosystem managers think about what type of species to incorporate when they monitor for microplastics, right? Knowing the fact that this study was able to demonstrate that even though oysters and clams, we've used them in the past to monitor different types of pollution, they may not be those sentinels that we need for microplastic pollution. And we may need to diversify what other types of species we include in order, again, to gain a more accurate understanding of what's out there.
I was speaking there with Dr. Constantine Rountos and Afifa Khan. For more of our conversation, head on over to WSHU.org. For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, online at WSHU.org, or with the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. I want to remind you that early bird registration for WSHU's trip to Ireland ends this Saturday, May 31st. Join music host Emily Boyer and reporter Davis Donovan this September for Ballads and Bards, a journey of story and song. All the info is there for you on our website, and again, that's WSHU.org. I'm Sabrina Garone. Thank you so much for listening, and enjoy the rest of your evening. I'll speak to you tomorrow.